Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
Hello, Michael.
That is my name.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good.
Deja vu.
A little backstory. We were recording on the wrong thing, but this is the second time on our introduction. I kind of have the same intro every single time. That's kind of like the only thing that is like the exact same every time. We're getting this one done a little early, aren't we, Kev?
Yes, it's 3:53 in the afternoon. It's an early one.
Yeah.
Because a certain person goes to bed early.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the only reason.
Yeah. Because I go to bed super late, like last night. Last night I was in bed by 12, but I know. Normally I'm probably going to bed by like 1:30. That's normally my bedtime, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But you, on the other hand, do not go to bed that late.
I usually lie down by 7:30.
Yeah. There are times when I'm working out in my room or I have just started making dinner and Kev has said goodnight to me already. And that's the dynamic in this apartment here.
That's nice.
Welcome back to the podcast. And the season has started, Kev.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a little bit. We've been a little bit busy, people. Mm-hmm. And I know we live in the same apartment and just do a podcast, but it's a little bit hard sometimes with our schedules. But the season has started, and our last podcast was about the season predictions and what we think is going to happen. It's looking like my Brewers prediction is not going to happen, where they're going to finish in last place unless they have a total utter collapse.
No.
They've been doing better than I expected. But biggest story pretty much of the opening the first month is the injuries to all the starting pitchers.
Yes.
That are out there right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of absurd. It kind of gained a lot of traction when Spencer Strider had the injury, and then everyone all of a sudden were like, wow, there's a lot of pitchers on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
To either elbow injury or that are going to be out this year because of a season-long injury to their pitching arm. And that's been a big topic. We don't have the answer to it. A lot of people were discussing whether it's the pitch clock or the velocity. I think it's more the velocity, and also that pitchers really don't have like a break in throwing. These guys don't have an off season. They just kind of have a throwing program to keep going. But the velocity definitely is an issue. I don't think it's the pitch clock because the numbers didn't increase enough for me to think that the pitch clock was the main issue. It could be an issue, but there's no quote-unquote like perfect data to explain why these pitchers are getting injured, other than the velocity is up in all of them. That's what I think. All these pitchers throw at least 95 plus.
Yeah. The news for baseball, their publicity department must be having a lot of trouble right now.
Yeah, Ohtani with the bets.
Ohtani with the bets, the jerseys. I mean, and like the jerseys thing is like relatively small compared to everything else, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, Shohei was in the midst of a scandal for a little bit before he got his name cleared.
Yeah.
His translator was stealing money from him.
Yeah.
As we ended up finding out.
Way more than anyone expected.
Yeah.
But that's happened a couple times in sports. It hasn't happened in baseball, but this is the first time that's happened in baseball with this amount of money.
Yeah.
With betting. I mean, how could it happen, Kev? Like, everything's sponsored by DraftKings or FanDuel and everything. How could this happen?
Yeah, even Fanatics is getting in on the game now. They have their own sports book.
Yeah, you hear that, people? The clothing brand that makes the terrible, awful jerseys for this team, for these teams, is now has a sports book.
And the only reason why I know is because when I watch MLB TV, it's on every single break.
Yeah.
Every single break is about their sports book.
Yeah. And also, like, every time that I listen to sports radio, every commercial break, there's at least one sports betting. At least one.
Yeah.
At least one sports betting.
And to get to the issue with the arms and pitching, I think I was telling you this a couple days ago. It's like when we were growing up 25 years ago, throwing 100 miles an hour was a big deal for someone to do.
Yep.
It's like, wow, that person threw in the high 90s, 100 miles an hour. I mean, fastballs were in like the middle 90s as a high. Like getting to 100 was like a milestone that people would reach. So now people throw 100 every game I watch.
Yeah.
I just watched the end of the Yankees-A's game where, what's his name, the reliever?
Mason Miller.
Mason Miller, all he's throwing is 100 mile an hour fastballs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there's a strong argument to be made that it's just the overuse of the arms.
Yeah.
And you had the development of these kids growing up where it's like their whole life is baseball.
Yeah.
It's all year round training.
Yeah.
And the human body can only take so much.
Yeah. I think I heard one of the former pitchers. I don't think it was Greg Maddux, but I know there was a very good pitcher that said, 90, 92 on the corners won't get you drafted, but 100 whatever all over the place will get you drafted because they're like, oh, we can fix him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little concerning given how many star pitchers are on the IL. It hurts the game.
Yeah.
Like the best, like Wheeler, I'm trying to think of like the best pitchers that are actually recognizable and like would be known by a lot of people. Like
Shane Bieber.
Yeah. He's on. Well, that's actually not injured. They're actually pitching right now.
Who's pitching right now?
Like you have, like in terms of like the Cy Young candidates right now, Glasnow, Wheeler, Logan Webb, Zach Gallen, but like they're not like big. Like Wheeler's probably the biggest out of all of them, probably maybe. Mm-hmm. But Zach Wheeler's not known by a lot of people. Verlander, Gerrit Cole, DeGrom, Scherzer, all those guys on the IL. Verlander's coming back, I think, this week.
I think Scherzer's coming back soon too.
Yeah, but like they're all the big name guys that you know well are all hurt, and that hurts the development of the game. And it's just, you're like, oh sweet, Scherzer's pitching, or sweet, DeGrom's pitching. I can't wait for DeGrom to come back. He's so much fun to watch. But you know, you have these guys that you just don't know about, and you're like, it's not fun to watch as much. It's not as much fun to watch.
Though MLB attendance apparently has been really high so far this year,
and the games are even like a tad shorter. Oh, they're like a couple minutes shorter too. Yeah.
I was watching the Yankees game the other day. They got through like 8 innings in under 2 hours. I was like, that is so fast. And I was starting to wonder to myself, is it even worth going to the game if the game's going to be like 2 hours long?
I wouldn't feel like I got my money's worth if the game was that quick. I really wouldn't. And I'm not saying that as, you know, we're more old school guys at like 3 hour games sitting and doing nothing, but like sitting and watching the game. But if you're there for 2 hours, unless it's like a really good game, but like if it's just a really quick, like not really exciting game, you're like, why did I come here? Why did I spend, you know, 50 plus bucks on a ticket, 20 bucks on parking, and then maybe, I don't know, 20 bucks on a beer, and then maybe $6 on a hot dog? That's $100 right there. That's not worth it for 2 hours of entertainment. It's not. So you got to pick your poison with that. Obviously, not every game is going to be two hours and 15 minutes, but like the 2 hour, like I think in between the 2 hours and 3 hours is two and a half to 3 hours is a good thing. I don't think that, like 2:45 probably would be like peak. Like, well, the other day, like the Phillies game ended before 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what? Like, what do I do for the rest of the night? Like, people leaving the game are like, wow, I'm actually going to get home at 10 o'clock, which honestly, as an adult, as I'm getting older, sounds great. But also, was it worth it?
Yeah.
Too. So.
Yeah. I was going to say something, but I just lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I have tons of things to say in my head. I got too much going on.
Yeah, that's why I tried to stop you as you were talking. But no, I was going to agree about the 2.5-3 hour time frame, especially also because with the other sports, that's the amount of time you sit there and watch the games. Like football is around 3 hours.
Yeah.
Basketball could be 2.5-3 hours, depending on how long it goes.
Yeah.
Especially the last couple of minutes of a basketball game.
It's terrible.
Where it's just timeout after foul after timeout after foul. Hockey, I think it's similar. I don't watch enough hockey to gauge that, but I think it's still in that 2.5-3 hour frame.
Totally forgot. Sixers play tonight. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm watching tonight. All right. Any surprises that you think are kind of worth the attention? I mean, the White Sox are absolutely horrible. They are probably They are a Triple A team. I thought the A's would be like the worst team, but the A's actually have been decent. Not great, but they've been decent. The White Sox look absolutely horrid.
Yeah.
Because completely putrid. It's a joke.
Yeah.
How bad they are. They're 3-18?
Yep.
3-18? 3-18. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We had 3-18 through 21 games. Or it's 21. Yeah, that can count.
The pleasant surprise for me is the Astros being 7-16 to start the year.
Yes. I think a big factor is the injuries to the pitching staff. Yes. And we don't want any pitcher to get hurt.
No.
But it is nice seeing the Astros struggle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Verlander's coming back, but Javier just went on the IL with a back or neck issue. But yeah, that's a good surprise. Marlins, I think the Marlins are actually tanking on purpose now. Mm-hmm. With how they, I think I was telling you the other day, they fired their GM. Was it Kim Ng? Kim Ng. She was doing a great job. She was doing a fantastic job.
She was.
And they let her go, and they hired a new person, and they didn't extend Schumacher, who went to the playoffs last year. They didn't pick up his option for next year. They're like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to do that. And so that means that, because normally when the new GM comes in, they pick their manager. So the GM's going to come in and he's going to pick a manager that they want to. What is that?
It's the vacuum outside. Oh,
there's someone vacuuming outside our apartment, people. Yeah. That's the noise. Sorry about that.
We're nothing but professional.
Yeah, we don't have a soundproof booth. We don't have, you know, professional equipment. And I'm not going to go outside and yell at the person for, we're recording here. But yeah, Marlins, I think they're tanking. They're going to have a new manager after this year. They're going to bring in a whole new regimen. It's almost like they're like, oh, we actually did start doing well. Oh, we can't do that. We have to go back. And I think when Perez went down, they knew Alcantara was out. Perez went down. Lizardo's still pitching there, but they're a joke.
I wonder what the long-term plan they're trying to do, like tanking on purpose, when they had a decent enough base. They weren't a great team last year, that they still made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe just save money by cutting players and getting people to go to the all-you-can-eat nights for $50-something.
My brother texted me. He said, we should do this. I'm like, I will buy tickets down to Miami just to go down, because it's a stadium I want to go to, and it's a great deal. $50 for all-you-can-eat and seeing a game. That's a great deal.
Yeah.
That's probably what? In terms of a trip, that's probably like $200 probably total if you get a cheap flight.
Depends on when you go.
Yeah. Also, the hotel. I forgot about the hotel. So probably like $250 if you go with someone and split everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not actually a bad deal, going down to Miami, seeing a ball game, getting a limited food. Like, you can go get a limited food at a steakhouse or something like that for the same price, like down the street from here. So that's not a bad. Of course, you are seeing the Marlins, so it's not really. I don't know.
It's the trade-off.
Yeah, there's a trade-off.
How about your team doing pretty well so far?
Yeah, so I mean, we were average until this week when we faced almost probably the two worst teams in baseball with the Rockies and White Sox. We swept them, won 6 in a row there. But you know, our offense is struggling. We're not offensive machine. Like, Trey Turner's and Brandon Marsh are like the only ones that are like hitting really well, but Bohm's okay, but Harper hasn't gotten off to a great start. Schwarber hasn't gotten off to a great start. But Schwarber's kind of like par for the course with what he's been doing. We're doing well. Pitching staff's been absolutely tremendous, ridiculous. And Taiwan Walker is apparently coming back, and they're going to put him in rotation when his numbers in his rehab starts have been absolutely horrible. Not horrible, just not as good as what Turnbull is doing. But I don't know what to tell you, man. It's just, if I ran that team, it'd be a lot different. No, we'd probably be the best team in the league.
Really?
No, we wouldn't be the best team. But it would be better.
Yeah.
It would be. I know it. Your Yankees are doing pretty good so far, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. I think Clark Schmidt put it best when we should just give Juan Soto whatever he wants. And I mean, whatever the man wants.
I would have to agree with you there.
He is undoubtedly the best player right now in baseball, like the way he's been hitting. He's the offense of the team right now, and he's exciting to watch. That right field porch is made for him.
Yeah.
And playing in right field, and he's already becoming a fan favorite.
I hope he doesn't get too pull happy though, because he definitely does better when he's just hitting home runs to left center. That's normally when you know he's on.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that he's like, obviously he hasn't been a 300 hitter every season. He's normally like 270, 280 in most of his seasons, other than a couple 300. Mm-hmm. But I hope he doesn't get too pull happy and turn into like Curtis Granderson type thing where he hits 40 but hits 240.
Volpe got off to a really hot start. He's come down to earth a little bit. The other guys, the All-Stars, or the All-Stars in previous years, like Judge and Torres, have not been doing well.
Yeah.
They've been struggling. Judge struck out four times the other day. He got booed by the Yankee Stadium crowd, which is rough. I don't want to see that.
Harper got booed.
But, I mean, you hope that that's the kind of thing that would motivate him to play a bit better.
Yeah.
Pitching's been solid, though. Overall, as a team, I can't say that they've had too many convincing wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a lot of comebacks and a lot of times where Clay Holmes would come in, and he's been pitching well, but they've had to use him a lot because they've had a lot of save situations. And his save situations aren't the easiest to watch. It's a lot of heart attacks coming into the game.
To be fair, what closers are actually like consistent every time? Other than Mariano Rivera.
Not too many. No, but Holmes does have a tendency to let things get interesting as a closer.
You need that adrenaline, you know? You just need that fire in him so that way...
Not all the time. Sometimes you just want to watch like a 7-0 blowout or like a 9-0 blowout that turns to 9-5.
Yeah, but then it gets boring after a while because I kind of...
I'm like, not saying every game like...
Like when the Phillies were playing the White Sox, I was like, I kind of don't want to play the White Sox anymore. I'm like, this is not good for us. If we just keep playing this team, like obviously when Wheeler was pitching the no-hitter, I was like, this is great. But then as soon as they brought in Pinto, I was just like, oh, this is getting interesting. I was like, this is why I like baseball, because it's just like, why are they doing this to me? It's torture. But yeah, so... That's kind of the intro to the season so far. We'll have plenty more to talk about as a season, as more players get hurt, more good stories happen, big surprises. I mean, Jackson Holliday came up, and he's been absolutely one of the worst hitters in baseball. Mm-hmm. That's the best prospect in baseball, and I think he has one hit.
Yeah, it's been rough.
It's been a little rough for him. Yeah. So, and I am wearing a Orioles jersey. I finally got my Adam Jones Orioles jersey. Been trying to find an Adam Jones one that was actually like not super expensive, because they were all like $150-$200 on eBay, and I was like, no, I don't care, like as long as it's like a replica, like not like a one that actually was produced by MLB, that's not like a Japan one. So I found one online for $50 and it's great. I love it. It's a little thin on the, like it's a little long. I think it might be like one of those actual like authentic ones that go down longer, but I found my Adam Jones jersey and I'm very happy. So I now have 3 jerseys that are non-Phillies. So I'm happy. I'm building my jersey collection. It's becoming an expensive hobby, but yes. All right, let's move on to our fun fact.
Yes, indeed. And this might be one of the craziest stats I've ever seen, and it's for different reasons than what you would expect from like a crazy stat, like a super high statistic.
Yeah.
I got to go back to my favorite baseball player of all time, and that's Lou Gehrig.
Oh, yeah.
If I had a top 5 list of favorite players, he might take up like the top 3 or 4.
Oh, about Paul O'Neill? I thought Paul O'Neill was one of your favorites.
He's one of my favorites, so he's not my favorite ever.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
No.
All right. So your favorite player is a player you've never seen play?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm just curious. That's I'm just asking.
Well, just like the way he conducted himself, the way he played, the consecutive game streak, and he's just the fact that he played so well under the shadow of another man who was in the same lineup as him in Babe Ruth.
That's very true.
And
the candy bar.
I thought you wanted me to be short with this section. But anyway,
no, just let it fly.
I mean, in the popular culture, he's known as the man who succumbed to ALS, one of the first guys, and he has the disease named after him, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
He didn't really get diagnosed with it until after his consecutive streak ended in early 1939. So he still played that first month or so.
Yep.
So even though he was still at ALS, he had a 143 average.
Yeah. Jeez.
With 4 doubles, I think. Or no, 4 hits. Yeah. 2 runs scored in 28 at-bats and walked 5 times.
Dang.
He had ALS.
Good Lord.
This is a man who, like, you know, he was falling over in the clubhouse in spring training because he couldn't stand up straight.
Jeez.
He couldn't make it to first base, barely was able to run, and he still was able to get a 143 average.
Better than Chris Davis.
Yeah.
or like half the White Sox team right now.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So that's why I have to absolutely put him here as a fun fact, because he played as a dying man.
Yeah. As a degenerative disease. I did my senior grad project on ALS. Like, it's not fun at all. It is very tragic. And I still know someone who got diagnosed with it and is still, like, diagnosed with it my senior year of high school and is still living with it. And it's kind of sad. It really is. But, that's incredible. He hit 134. That's ridiculous that he actually had hits when playing with it. I didn't know he even played with it after he got diagnosed.
Yeah. Gosh. It wasn't for very long, obviously, but
that wouldn't happen today. If you got diagnosed, the teams would be like, yeah, no, you're not playing.
Yeah.
They would be like, no, it's not worth it. Yeah. Like, even for like just like one at bat or something like that, so you can send them off to like standing ovation thing. Yeah. I don't think teams would do that.
No.
They'd like do like a curtain call type thing, like from the dugout, but that's it.
Well, he wasn't diagnosed until after he stopped playing.
Oh, I thought you said he was diagnosed before.
No.
Oh, okay.
But he was still playing with it.
Did they know how long he was playing with it?
Since at least 1938, like probably mid 1938 when his performance started to decline.
Gotcha.
And then it just got even worse. So in the off season, then spring training, he couldn't do anything. His body started to break down. This was the same guy too, who played with like, he fractured all 10 fingers at some point in his career and had multiple concussions. They think that concussion he had in 1936 or 1937 may have precipitated the ALS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Jeez. So, gosh. But he played through it all.
He did. He did. So, that's our fun fact for you today. Yeah. For Lou Gehrig, played with ALS and still had a better batting average than Chris Davis did.
Yes.
That's our fun fact for you today, people. But we have a fun one for you right now with our junk ball section for everyone. We are going to do our favorite non-Yankees and non-Phillies players of all time. So Kevin will do his favorite non-Yankee players, and I will do my favorite non-Philly players. And this was a little bit more challenging, given that some of the players that actually we liked, I couldn't pick because, eventually they became a Philly. Mm-hmm. And like, so it was a little frustrating to do that. But we thought this would be fun to go through some of our favorite players that weren't our favorite team, because it's, you know, to expand our horizons with it. And we have a little bit more to add on to that, but we'll reveal that after we get through our five favorite non-Yankees and non-Phillies. You want to go first?
Sure. Now, I didn't do all time necessarily. I didn't do any. It's not necessarily current. I don't think any of them are. No, only one of them still playing.
Okay.
But they're all like in my lifetime.
Okay. Gotcha.
So the person I picked for number five is a pitcher who's been, you know, screwed over in terms of both the team he played for and the injuries that he had.
Oh, I'm trying to think of the top team. Can you give me a hint?
National League. Well, he wasn't a National League.
He got screwed over through injuries.
And the team he played for because they were bad.
All right, so I'm thinking either the Marlins or the Rockies.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. The Mets?
Yes.
Oh. Dwight Gooden?
No. Dwight Gooden played for the Yankees.
Oh, that's right. He did. Darn it.
Yeah. DeGrom.
Oh, Jacob DeGrom. Gosh, I'm an idiot. Gosh.
It's okay. No worries. It probably wasn't a player you were expecting me to say.
No.
But I just really like this pitcher. He's dominant on the mound. If he was healthy, he'd be an all-timer. He probably still is in terms of like his peak years, but he's just been so ravaged by injuries.
So ravaged.
And even in the years that he pitched, like, you know, his Cy Young years, his back-to-back Cy Young years, in 2018, he was 10-9 with a 1.7 ERA.
Yeah, that was the ridiculous.
10-9.
I think if the Mets had scored two runs in all of his starts, he would have been had at least a 15 game winner and only lost, I think, three games, I believe.
Yeah.
He would have been 15-3. Yeah. If they scored two or more runs. If they scored three, I think he only lost like one or two games. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad how bad that Mets team was. Poor, I don't care. I really don't.
Well, I mean, I like him more now because he went to a better team, even though he hasn't pitched them very much.
Yeah.
He only pitched in 6 games last year. He's been hurt.
He's coming back. Coming back to the end of this year.
He is coming back.
Yeah.
But let's see how healthy he stays because health has been a concern for him.
Yeah, it's a real shame. If we had a healthy Jacob deGrom for the next 4 years, that'd be very, very good for baseball.
Yeah.
Be bad for the AL West, but it'd be good for baseball.
Yeah. I just put him in my top 5 just because I really like watching him pitch.
Yeah. You know, it's an effortless 100. Effortless 100. All right. So my 5th favorite non-Philly, I'm actually wearing his jersey right now. Adam Jones for the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are probably my 2nd favorite team. And when Adam Jones came up, I just thought he was a fun player to watch. And I mean, great. He's a 5-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glover. And he also had that great catch for Team USA to help them win the World Baseball Classic in 2017 off of Manny Machado. It was just, I've always looked for players that I think are fun to watch. And he was a great fielder, great hitter. Like, he wasn't the best hitter, but he was a great hitter for 4 or 5 years that in his prime.
He was.
And he also just a great personality, too. I've heard he's just the best clubhouse guy, always likes making jokes, just a stand-up player. But Adam Jones was just a fun player for me to watch growing up. And he recently retired. He last played in 2019 for the Diamondbacks. Hmm. But he spent 11 of his 14 seasons in Baltimore. And yeah, I mean, he's a Baltimore fan favorite. Like, he's not a Hall of Famer. He's got good stats, but he doesn't have, like, he's got 227 batting average, 282 home runs, almost 2,000 hits. But you know, if there was a center fielder today, like, I'd definitely be watching him most of the time.
He had an earlier peak, if I remember correctly. I mean, his peak years were, like, in the early 2010s.
Yeah.
Like, so, in that 2012-13 range.
Yeah, 2009 to 2017 really was when he was, like, peak. That's actually a longer range than I thought.
That's more than I remember. Yeah,
he had 25 home runs from 2011 to 2017 plus. And around 80 plus RBIs in all those seasons, and then a 280 batting average pretty much around that time. Like, pretty solid stuff. He was a solid player. And he was an all-star for 5 years. And the closest he came to winning MVP was he was 6th in 2012 with 32 homers, 82 RBIs, 287 batting average, and 839 OPS. But yeah.
Well, fortunately, he played there before they moved back to Wolf.
Yeah. Oh, he probably would have had 100 less home runs. Yeah. Gosh. But yeah, Adam Jones, number 5.
Yes. Now number 4 for me, and I had to confirm, but I was pretty sure he didn't play for the Yankees. No, he didn't. This is a guy who was starting off as a pitcher and had the yips big time.
Oh, yeah?
Big time. Coming up, he was a highly touted prospect. I think most people remember him for his yips he had in the playoffs against the Braves. I think it was. This was back in the early 2000s.
Nope, I can't ring a bell.
Mr. Rick Ankiel.
Rick Ank. Oh my goodness!
Yes,
outfielder turned or pitcher turned outfielder.
Yes. Yeah. He was the quintessential guy who just. He pitched in that game and just was all over the place. Then he had control issues for years. He had Tommy John surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he spent a couple of years just rehabbing in the minor league system and trying to get back up to speed before he was converted to an outfielder. And he came out swinging. I mean, he hit a grand slam. He had a home run, I think, in his return. And then he had some, you know, solid years. He had a 285 batting average in 2007. He
had 25 home runs in 2008. Holy crap.
He had 25 home runs in 2008.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and then he kind of played with the Royals and the Nationals for a couple of years after that.
I remember him with the Nationals. Yeah. I remember him with St. Louis. I do remember from that because he had some great throws in the outfield.
He did. Yeah.
He was actually a pretty good defensive player for pitcher turned outfielder.
He was. And that's the reason why he's on my list, because of his comeback story.
Yeah.
From, you know, just being down in the dumps and having Tommy John surgery to coming back and being a solid outfielder.
Yeah.
For a number of years.
Yeah. Serviceable outfielder. Just, yeah, that's a good story. That is a good story. And, you know, it's the Cardinal way. All right, Rick Ankiel, number four. So my number four is currently still playing, but is on the IL just like Jacob DeGrom is. That is, he has the career lowest ERA in MLB history. Do you know who it is?
I'm sorry.
He has the lowest ERA, career lowest ERA in MLB history. Right now. Like for all of his career.
Kershaw?
Yep, Clayton Kershaw. He's number four. I've always had he's got that weird kind of like brings his arms up, like sets it, got that high leg kick. And he was just so much fun to watch when he was in his peak. Mm-hmm. He was just like, all right, you're facing Kershaw. You could get a shutout. You could get a no hitter. You could get strikeouts. He's still, how old is he? He's in 36 ish.
He's 36.
36. Yeah. Look at that. But even last year, in 24 games, he had a 2.46 ERA. His highest ERA, he's had two ERAs in three plus since 2009. That is absolutely absurd. He's led the league in ERA five times. He's a three-time Cy Young. He won an MVP. He was so much fun to watch. I hated the Dodgers, but it was fun to watch late at night when you could watch the game at night and the Dodgers were on and Kershaw was pitching. You're like, this is fun to watch. He was a fun pitcher to watch.
Does your hate make up for the fact that he was terrible in the postseason?
I mean, he never faced the Phillies in the postseason, so I didn't really care that much. But he might have pitched a little bit in 2008 against them. I'm not sure if he... Let me check to see if
he did.
He did?
He had a 4.5 ERA. He pitched two games, two innings against the Phillies.
In 2008?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And then he pitched in two games...
In 2009, he had a 9.45 ERA against the Phillies.
Yeah, so I don't even remember that, to be honest. I don't. Yeah. I know Kershaw hasn't had the best success in the playoffs, but yeah, what's his career ERA in the playoffs?
Well, if you scroll all the way down and see that ERA for his last series.
Oh, I mean, he only got one out. Oh, yeah. That series overall was just do you want to forget that as a Dodger fan?
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved Kershaw. I know some people think that, you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Easy. He should be unanimous, but he won't be because that's how people are. I mean, you're a 10-time All-Star. You've won the MVP as a pitcher, and you're a 3-time Cy Young Award winner. You've won the World Series. Also, that is also an asterisk World Series, too, because it was 2020.
Yeah.
So you say what you want, but the dude has a career 2.48 ERA in 2,712 innings.
Yeah. No, I agree. You can count on him to be a Cy Young candidate every year.
Yeah.
I don't think you could say that about too many pitchers in baseball right now.
No.
And
he's going to come back, and he's got 60, he needs 66 strikeouts to get to 3,000.
Yeah.
So
he'll get it.
He should get it. He has a career ending injury. Please don't. But he gets that 3,000. He has the 3,000 strikeouts. He has over 200 wins. He's got the Cy Young. He's got the MVP World Series. He can't really say anything more. I mean, I know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but just love Kershaw. So that's my number four.
Number three for me is one of your guys.
Oh, yeah?
And a fan favorite in Philadelphia. Well, he was a fan favorite
Chase
in
Utley?
Philadelphia.
Chase Utley?
No.
Jimmy Rollins?
No.
A fan favorite. Oh, Cliff Lee?
No.
Darn.
He pitched in my division for a while.
Pedro?
No. What is wrong with you?
Because Pedro's not a fan favorite for us. Like, he's just, we're like, oh, wait, Pedro pitched for us?
I liked facing him in 09. That was fun.
Yeah. Okay, he was on our team. He was a fan favorite, and he was in your division for a while.
He pitched the perfect game.
Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is. Now, when he pitched in Toronto, I hated him. Because he was the one pitcher that the Yankees would always lose to. I knew when they were facing, was like, they're going to lose because he was so good.
Yeah.
He carried that Blue Jays team for a while because there was no other reason to watch him. Maybe Delgado for a bit, but it was really Roy Halladay that you went there for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got to watch him once when he was a Blue Jay. He threw almost a complete game shutout. Not surprising. But then he went to Philadelphia. You know, they won the Cy Young in another league. So I don't think there's too many people who have won the Cy Young Award in both the American and National Leagues.
Yeah.
And threw that no-hitter in 2010 in the playoffs and the perfect game the same year. Mm. And
it's bringing back memories.
Oh. Yeah. Whew. And he just seemed like a classy guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was a very classy guy. And he just, I had a lot of respect for Roy Halladay, even though I couldn't stand him at the time.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of respect for him now. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. God, you stand up. Like, I haven't heard one person say anything bad about Doc in the entire time that... Toronto, Philly, anytime that he's been, he was very competitive. Like he will say that, you know, he will kill you. Like if you say certain things to him, but that was kind of like how you were as a pitcher. Like you wanted to dominate on the mound. I'm pretty sure you know this story, but during the All-Star game, 1 year, Mariano Rivera and Doc were talking in the outfield and Mariano Rivera showed him how he threw his cutter.
Yeah.
And I remember there was Yankee fans were upset at Mo for telling him how to throw his cutter.
I remember that. People need to get a grip.
Yeah. Get it. Pun. Get it? Because of the grip of the cutter. Get it?
I do.
I have fun here, people. I have fun. Kev doesn't because I'm annoying. But yeah, I'm Doc's a great choice for number three. I can't choose him because he's a Philly. So yeah, great choice. Got any more?
No.
All right. So number three for me is technically not retired, but he pitched just last year, but he's currently a free agent. No one has signed him. He is known for being with one team early on when he won a Cy Young, but then he went to a couple. He's traveled around a little bit more since then, but he hasn't won a World Series.
I think I know what you're talking about.
He's known for being a little bit antisocial and awkward with how his antics and conversation is, because I believe he has a social anxiety with his interviews, but you want to guess?
I think you're a fanboy of his, aren't you?
Kinda. I'm
cranky.
I've been looking for his jersey too. I can't find a good jersey that's not like $300 for Zach Greinke. I love Zach. I mean, to be fair, who doesn't love Zach Greinke for a lot of baseball fans? Dude loves to pitch. He sometimes he literally would tell the batter, well, hey, this pitch is coming, and he would still get strikeouts. Like, that's ridiculous how good he was. He's currently a free agent. I'm hoping a team signs him later on just to, you know, eat up some innings or whatever, so we can get a World Series ring. But you're about to say something.
At this point, he probably will sign with somebody, given the injuries that are happening.
Yeah, hopefully. But the thing is, he doesn't throw hard. Like people might be worried that he's too awkward with the his antics or something like that. But I hope the Royals start doing really, like, the Royals are off to a good start. If the Royals start doing really well and they just need a little bit more depth, they bring back Greinke for, you know, just fifth starter or spot stuff in the bullpen. That would be really cool.
I think it's because of the awkwardness that he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves.
Yeah.
He's only 21 strikeouts away from 3,000.
Yeah.
And he's one of only five pitchers to strike out 1,000 different batters.
Yeah.
So he's got longevity. He's played since 2004.
Yeah. He should be. He will be a Hall of Famer. There'll be people that say he probably shouldn't be just because his ERA is 3.5. That's inflamed over the last couple years just because he's just been losing a little bit over the years, but he's just a he was just that fun pitcher. Didn't really talk that much. I had a lot of fun watching Zach Greinke. And he went around the league after Kansas City. He went to Milwaukee for a little bit in the trade deadline. Or was it the trade deadline with Milwaukee?
I don't remember.
No, it was he went to Milwaukee for a year, then got traded to Anaheim, and then at Anaheim he signed with the Dodgers. And then the big free agent signing was when he went to Arizona.
Mm.
That was the big shock. Everyone's like, "Whoa, Arizona signed him." But then he was an all-star. He was an all-star probably. He should have been an all-star much earlier in his career too.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just a fun pitcher to watch, and I like his antics and his behavior and just how he is. He's kind of a goofball too at sometimes. But yeah, I love Zach Greinke. Trying to find a powder blue Zach Greinke Royals jersey, but that's going to be hard to find. That's not super expensive.
Powdered blues are the way to go.
Yes. Yes.
I tell you. Now we're down to our second.
Yeah. Top two.
It's a steroid guy.
Oh.
Yeah, which isn't Bonds.
Okay.
But he was one who could really hit. He was a part of that home run race in 98.
Okay. So it's one of two options right now.
Yeah. He's a World Series champion, 12-time All-Star.
So he's a World Series champion. Oh, okay, yeah.
He was one of the Bash brothers in the 80s, mm-hmm. along with Canseco.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark McGwire.
When did he win the World Series?
In 89.
With the O's.
What alternate universe is he playing in Baltimore?
We're just going to do initials from now on for teams.
Sosa did play in Baltimore, I think.
Yes, though. He did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
So the other one did.
Can I just imagine if I show up to Camden Yards with a Orioles Sosa jersey?
I should. And he was a lot of fun to watch, even though he did take performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes.
And he would be another guy like Bonds who would hit like 500-foot home runs consistently.
Yeah.
Like the one I think of is the one at Dodger Stadium, if you ever saw that highlight. He hit it over that roof.
Yeah.
Like just absurd. And another guy who, I mean, even though he's a steroid guy, doesn't seem like the worst person ever.
No. He seems pretty nice guy, especially in the clubhouses. He's been a hitting coach for the Padres and also I think the bench coach for the Cardinals at one point. I believe, but yeah, no, I have nothing bad to say about McGwire other than the fact that he cheated. That's pretty much it. I mean, Bonds lied about cheating. Did McGwire lie at first?
I think he did.
Yeah.
He didn't come clean until later. It was like 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
So after the Mitchell report and all that stuff came out.
No, I liked him. It was fun to. So there's a big topic that we're definitely going to get to on a podcast about what steroids, just as a general. We have. Yeah. Definitely a lot to say about that. But yeah, the Mark McGwire, that's a solid choice.
Yeah. And I mean, it was genuine, like the happiness that Sosa and McGwire have for each other.
Yeah.
Because when he hit the 60-second home run, that was against the Cubs.
Yeah.
So Sosa was there and the Maris family was there. And
didn't they hug too?
Yeah. They did.
Yeah.
It was just a great time in baseball, 98.
It was.
98 was such a great year.
It's a shame that it was cheating. But yeah. If I wrote I wrote a thesis paper, I believe, on that steroid saved baseball in my college class. I did a terrible job writing it. I'm not a good writer, people. And, but I did say that steroids definitely did save baseball in that. But we have a ton to talk about on another podcast with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to, for my number two is a current Cardinal. And I've talked about this guy for probably, I would probably say I mentioned him maybe once every podcast or every other podcast. He was on my all-time fantasy team as my third baseman. And he's a former Rocky, and the Rockies traded him to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals got $30 million in the trade. The Cardinals didn't send anything over to the Rockies for him. But Nolan Arenado has been probably, in the time that he has been in the league, has been my favorite non-Philly player to watch. He's the best third baseman I've ever seen play at third base. And I've seen Scott Rolen, I've seen highlights of Schmidt, but Nolan Arenado makes it look super easy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how easy he makes it look. Fantastic offensive player. Last 2 years, he's been struggling a little bit offensively. He is getting older, and he's not in Colorado anymore. But his numbers didn't drop off significantly when he went to St. Louis. It's just more of he's getting older. That lineup hasn't been the Cardinals haven't been the best since he's been there. But Nolan Arenado is a lot of fun to watch. Don't have anything bad to say. Like everyone says, he's a great teammate. I just he's so much fun to watch.
He's another one of those players, kind of like Greinke, where if he played for better teams, if he wasn't with the Rockies, if he was like in LA or New York or one of them, he would get far more credit as a great player and the best third baseman in the league.
Yeah.
He's a 10-time Gold Glove winner, 6-time Platinum Gold Glove winner.
Yeah.
He won that 5 years in a row. Granted, he's getting older now. He's 33.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've seen a peak performance at third base like that, like we've seen with Arenado, at least in our time. There's not too many. Yeah. I could think of off the top of my head.
Last year was the only year in his career that he didn't win the Gold Glove.
Yeah, in his career.
In his career. He had won it his rookie year and then all the way up until last year. He had won it every year at third base for the National League.
Yeah. And, I mean, he didn't... Was there an All-Star game in 2020?
No.
So that's why he didn't... Because there was, like, an interruption, too. So it was, like, he was an All-Star in 2015 to 2019, then 2021 to 2023. So only the COVID year prevented him from having a 9th All-Star appearance.
And he's the 6-time Platinum Glove. That means he was the best position, best glove in his league.
Yes.
6 times.
Yeah.
6 times. 5-time Silver Slugger. I don't know if he's won a Silver Slugger since he's been with the... Oh, he has. His second year with the Cardinals. Yeah. He was 3rd MVP with the Cardinals, too. So, like, his numbers haven't dropped off significantly. He definitely struggled last year a little bit. I think last year, at the end of the year, he definitely struggled. But Arenado's one of the more fun players to watch on both sides of the ball. You know, you get players that are fun to watch on either side. Arenado's good on both sides. You're excited to watch him when he's up at bat and when he gets the... Like, when the ground balls hit to third, I'm like, oh, crap. It's an out. Like, no matter how hard it is, like, it's a surprise. You know a player is good at what they do when something bad happens and you're like, wow, that happened? That you're surprised when a ball gets by him. So my number two, Nolan Arenado.
Mm-hmm. Good number two.
Thank you.
Number one, I don't think this is... much of a contest for me. And this is someone we've talked about quite a bit on our podcast, and our fun facts are just being one of the great pure hitters of all time.
Okay, all right. I know who this is.
Yeah. Another guy who, I mean, he got to 2 World Series, but mostly he played for a mediocre team. But, man, could he hit and make contact and rarely struck out. The most strikeouts he had in 1 year was 40.
It's ridiculous.
40 strikeouts. People get 40 strikeouts in a month.
Let me check to see if there's anyone that has 40 strikeouts right now. I'm going to check to see if anyone has 40. Yeah. Someone's got to have at least 30.
Yeah.
Someone's got to have 30.
And he's only struck out 30 times in 3 seasons. If you haven't guessed, it's our friend from San Diego, Tony Gwynn. Pretty obvious for me. Another guy who is super fun to watch and also just a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
When you watch him in interviews, he's just like, he's polite, he's kind, he makes jokes, he's just really fun. And again, just watching him hit was ridiculous. And he could field.
Yeah,
he was a 4-time Gold Glover, 5-time Gold Glover.
Also got recruited for basketball, too. He was a fantastic basketball player.
Yeah, he was a multi-sport athlete as well.
So
he didn't hit home runs, really.
No.
But that doesn't matter.
No, he was a pure hitter.
Yeah.
So he had 40 strikeouts, that was his most,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
O'Neal Cruz for the Pittsburgh Pirates has 37 right now. 37. So he is almost pretty much right around where the max for Tony Gwynn, and it's only been a month into the season, pretty much.
And here's another token of the respect that he deserves, too. He regularly accepted less money to remain with the Padres.
He's Mr. Padre. I have nothing bad ever to say about Tony Gwynn.
No.
Ever. It truly is one of the best players, one of the best people in baseball. I'm really good at English people. He's just one of the best people in baseball ever.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Tony Gwynn museum?
Maybe in San Diego somewhere.
Yeah. I feel like there could be for Tony Gwynn.
We've been talking about trying to go to the Jackie Robinson Museum in New York.
Yes.
I don't know if they're the one for Tony Gwynn. It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe PNC Petco Park. Wow.
Yeah.
Petco Park. It's the P Parks.
The P Box.
The P Box. They're all, but.
Good choice. Solid choice. I love it. So rounding out our top five favorite non-Yankees and non-Phillies, I'm going with another Cardinal. This one just retired the other year, and I remember watching him as a kid. There were times when he was my favorite player, even though I was a Phillies fan. I was like, man, I just love watching this guy. His nickname is the Terminator, or the Machine. The Machine, that's his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
But Albert Pujols was just my favorite player of all time. Like, he's borderline my favorite player of all time, and he's not a Philly. Just complete stand-up guy, but also he is one of three players, I believe, to have the Triple Crown all decade, where he had the highest average, highest home runs, and highest amount of RBIs for 10 years straight. Mm. I think the other people other do that were, I just know he was the third person to do it. And there was the only two guys that were in the Hall of Fame. But Albert Pujols, you can't really say. Obviously, when he went to the Angels, he struggled a little bit as he got older. But he, for 10 years with the Cardinals, you couldn't pretty much have a better offensive player other than maybe someone who could steal bases a little bit more. But he had three MVPs with the Cardinals, finished in second, third, in other years with the Cardinals, and fourth. He really never struggled with the Cardinals at all. His last year at the Cardinals, I think, was his first year he hit below 300, and he hit .299. That was his only year with the Cardinals. He hit below 300.
Yeah.
It really was fun. You stopped and watched Albert Pujols hit because you knew something good was going to happen most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of was like between him and Miggy for like the best player, like best hitters around at that time. But I'll take Pujols over Miggy 10 times out of 10.
Well, I think Miggy was more like later after Pujols' peak, because when I think of the 2000s decade, I think of Pujols.
Yeah.
In terms of like the best all around player.
Because Miggy had it in 2012 when he won the Triple Crown.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And Miggy won it back to back MVPs, where you're like, wow, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Because that was right when Pujols went to the Angels in 2012. That was his first year with the Angels. And everyone remembers when Pujols went to the Angels, he didn't hit a home run, I think, for the first couple weeks, and everyone started like, what the heck, man? Like, we gave you $210 million to come over here. And
the Angels just ruin everything.
Yeah, they do. They really do. But a stand-up guy, like, he had a huge foundation, that nonprofit that helped underprivileged kids, I believe, overseas, or I think they were either on the spectrum or something like that. But it was super classy guy. I've never seen him get ejected or angry in baseball ever.
Kept this cool.
I don't know if he was. You know how MLB has those votes for like most like nicest teammate or something like that. I know Tomei won it a couple of times, because Tomei was just I've never heard one person say, I don't think I've ever seen Tomei frown, honestly. But I know Pujols was just that, everyone just loved Pujols in the dugout and as a clubhouse. So
I think the home run he hit off a ledge in Houston hasn't landed yet.
It hasn't. That is
it's still sailing somewhere.
And he's known for just that weird stance. Like, he doesn't really step. He kind of his thighs are so freaking big. It's where he gets all his power from. Like, he just lifts his leg and just has that like smooth swing. It's a shame that towards the end of his career he really battled some injuries. But he did get to 3,000 hits. Got to 700 home runs. It's really just awesome, the fact that he got to all those milestones.
He should be unanimous, I would think.
He should be.
He probably won't be.
He won't be, because he's a .296 career hitter, almost 300. Obviously, the last couple years.
It was the couple of years.
Yeah, but he has over 100 WAR, which it was a big thing. Like, people were worried that he would get below 100, but he got to also, it was great to go and have him go back with the Cardinals and finish out his career there. But yeah, 296 career hitter, 703 home runs, 3,384 hits, 2,218 RBIs, and an OPS of 918. Gosh. And he played how many years? 22 years.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And three MVPs.
Yeah. It's, I loved watching Pujols play. I've been looking at a Pujols jersey. I've been looking at it, trying to find. I don't want to get an Angels one. I got to get a Cardinals one.
Yeah. When you go to Baseball Reference and you see like the players of similar ages and you see the likes of DiMaggio and Aaron there, yeah, and Willie Mays, you know you're dealing with a guy who's a all-timer.
Yeah, I agree. We have some good. I mean, Rick Ankiel is not a Hall of Famer.
No.
But most of our players were pretty good players. Very good players, Hall of Famer players.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only one of my player that probably isn't going to be in Hall of Fame is Adam Jones, but everyone else should be in the Hall of Fame. Is Ankiel?
Well, McGuire's never going to make it.
McGuire's not going to make it. Yeah, true.
DeGrom?
He's going to be the test, because yeah, say if he doesn't accumulate the stats the next couple years with the Rangers, he was the best pitcher in baseball for 5-6 years.
Yeah, the late 2010s.
And so, like, you're going to get those. He has the two Cy Youngs. Does he have two Cy Youngs? I think he has two.
Two, yeah.
He has that new type of, like, stats that we're going to have to figure out whether or not he was a Hall. Because
yes,
in our minds, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher, but he doesn't have the stats to go along with it. So that'll be interesting to see whether or not DeGrom gets in. I hope he does, but DeGrom's also up there, one of my favorite players, because it's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
But do you have some players that you loathe for your?
I was able to think of two.
So this is for your least favorite Yankees, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we decided to do our least favorite of our own teams, yes, just for fun. So what do you got?
I don't think these guys are necessarily like unlikable people, but when they were there, they were just absolutely useless.
Yeah.
And that's the number one factor when it comes to hatred I feel for the Yankees. You could be a total jerk,
yeah,
but if you win, like Reggie Jackson was, yeah, he was a jerk to everybody, yeah, but he won games, so Yankees fans love him anyway.
Yeah. Mr. October.
Yeah, exactly. But you have guys like, say, if you remember, Carl Pavano.
Oh, yeah, Carl Pavano.
Who they signed to this $40 million deal. He was sixth in Cy Young in 2004. He goes to the Yankees and does nothing. He had 26 starts over 3 years. He had a 5 ERA and was always hurt. And then he had Tommy John surgery.
Oh, whoa. No way.
So just, I don't want to bash on him as a person,
no,
but he was just like, he did nothing.
No, I agree.
He was a complete waste of money. The other has to be Jacoby Ellsbury.
I was going to guess Jacoby. That was going to be my next
another
guess.
Another one who is similar. He had a 7-year deal, $150 million. Didn't do anything.
You can see Kev getting just frustrated with him talking about it.
He had a 264 average in 520 games. He was another guy who was hurt constantly. Even when they signed him at the time, that's when they signed him right off of that World Series championship after 2013. I'm like, that's pretty high for someone like Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but is he worth the 7-year, $153 million?
No.
I think they were just doing that because the Red Sox won the World Series and they kind of wanted like the Johnny Damon signing. Like when they got Damon from the Red Sox, they wanted to do the same thing with Jacoby Ellsbury and bring him in, and
yeah,
it backfired spectacularly.
Yeah.
So those are the two that come to mind for me.
And I'm trying to think of other Yankees that are hated by just like off that I know that would be hated. Like Ellsbury was one. That was going to be my guess. I know A-Rod is kind of mixed.
I think it's kind of gone down for A-Rod. He has like valleys and peaks.
Yeah.
Before 2009, Yankees fans did not like him because he couldn't perform in the postseason.
Yeah.
He won MVPs. He was an MVP twice, I think, before 2009, but yeah, he had like a 100-200 average in the postseason. Never wanted him to hit. Then 2009 comes and now he's like, you know,
yeah,
he's clutch in the ALDS against the Twins, then against the Phillies, he does well.
Yeah.
So he wins back that respect.
Yeah.
But then you have all the steroid stuff, getting caught twice for it, including in the 2009 season.
Yeah.
And then now he's doing the commentating and he's kind of annoying.
Yeah, he's kind of annoying. He really is.
So, and they didn't retire his number, even though he's a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
And they kind of like tried to push him into retirement in 2016, like halfway through. It's just like, get out of here.
Well, yeah, didn't he retire mid-season?
Yeah, it was 2016.
Yeah.
But they were, I don't know if I called like a forced retirement, that they were kind of like pushing him out.
You could see it. Yeah. You could see it. Yeah. I was trying to, there was something on the top of my, I can't remember what it was.
Donaldson?
No, I was thinking more like current players that could be like Aaron Hicks and Donaldson are players that I thought like were definitely hated by the Yankees. I'm thinking Rodon, if he doesn't do well.
He's done fine so far this year.
Yeah. But like, I feel like he has that personality that could rub off the wrong way with.
Well, he did last year.
Yeah. So if he doesn't do well, because he signed a huge deal.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't do well, I feel like Rodon could be on that list.
Yeah.
I feel like there's other Yankees that just Yankee fans just absolutely loathe, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But
as long as you perform, you'll define.
That's kind of how we are with Phillies fans. Except this guy who is my number one. So I don't know if like, I have a number one, but two, like, there's two guys that I just absolutely loathe that are Phillies, but one of them's our all-time saves leader, and you know him well from pitching, because he pitched with the Red Sox for a while.
Yep.
But Jonathan Papelbon, also known as Jonathan Papelpoopy by Ike Reese on WIP, he was really good for us. He was really good. But, dude, he was such a jerk. He is such a jerk. He choked out Bryce Harper while he was with the Nationals, but also he made the gesture to his crotch at the fans when he said it didn't. But the dude's kind of a jerk just in life too. Yeah. But he just is not liked by Philly fans. And to be fair, he came here to win, and he got frustrated the fact that it was the tail end of the peak. Phillies years.
Wasn't he there in 2011?
2012.
Okay, so right after.
Right after, okay. Yeah. Because he came here saying, like, yeah, I wanted to win. Like, I signed a contract. So, but, dude, he is so hated by... He's hated by Yankee fans and Philly fans. And also probably National fans, too, because he choked out Harper. Well, they don't like Harper anymore, so... but I have a couple other guys that I could say. But this one guy...
Scott Rowland?
No, I like Scott Rowland.
I know Philly fans don't like him.
No, they don't. They're kind of... They should just grow up about that issue. They should. He didn't... He wanted more money. And then they were like, oh, no, we're going to trade you. And, but he was... He didn't want that much more money at the time. He just was like, hey... And then he's like, yeah, they're not committed to winning because they didn't want to pay me.
Mm.
Like, to be fair, they weren't at that time. Everything that Rowland said was fine. And Rowland didn't say anything bad about the Phillies when he was with the Cardinals or anything. So, but no, this guy, he just retired a couple years ago, but he was really well known for being a Cubs pitcher and an ace for the Cubs and a no pitcher.
Oh.
Yeah. But when he came to the Phillies, he signed a 3-year, $75 million deal, and we're like, okay, now we have our starting pitcher, like, to go along with Nola. You think of, you got it?
No. Yeah, it's Arrieta.
Yeah, gosh.
But all I'm thinking about is when we were still going to Eastern in 2015.
Yeah.
I think it was like you, me, and our friend John.
Yeah.
We were having like this debate about the Cy Young that year.
With Granke and Arrieta.
Yeah.
So he signed late in the season, late in the off season, and he signed with the Phillies 3-year, $75 million. And he was just so bad. Like, he wasn't even anywhere close to anything that we had signed him for. And then he threw Kingery under the bus for not being in the right position or something like that, who was his rookie year. The guy, like... Oh, my gosh. He is not liked by Philly fans at all. He's also kind of a jerk, kind of personality. Like, he thought he was, like, the best thing, like, ever in his with how he was. But, yeah, Jake Arrieta, don't like that guy. I could name a couple other guys that were on my list that are underneath my skin. Adam Eaton's kind of a shoe-in for Philly fans because he came in, was supposed to pitch well for us. It didn't, then got DFA'd his World Series year, and then came in and got the World Series ring. And he was booed while he got the ring. I probably shouldn't hate this guy, but Andrew Knapp always got underneath my skin. Our backup catcher, like, it just always seemed like he was just bad. The only thing that I remember him doing was he hit a walk-off home run, and it felt like he had to swing the hardest he ever could to hit a home run. But I hated Andrew Knapp. Yuri's Familia, that's also on my list. Recent guy, just terrible. I hate him with the Mets, and the fact that he came to the Phillies, I'm like, full of God. This really, the guy's on the end of his career. And for some reason, Girardi just kept going to him all the time. And I'm like, stop it. Dude sucks. And then also Delmon Young. He was only there for like 40 games. But dear Lord, I hated watching Delmon Young play. I was like, this guy sucks. I hate this guy. This is not worth it. But
I kind of felt that way a little bit about Edwin Encarnacion. Even though like he just didn't do anything for like half the year he was there.
Yeah. Did you trade him to Cleveland after, or did he go to Cleveland after with the after the Blue Jays and then sign with the free agency with you guys?
I forget exactly. But sometimes I forget he was even there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, we had Edwin that one year where he had maybe one or two home runs. I know he had more than that, but
yeah,
he didn't do anything. No, I would think those are players that Philly fans wouldn't like.
Yeah.
I was thinking also maybe Mr. Batflip.
Odubel. Oh, yeah, no, he's not liked. Yeah, no, I could add him to the list too. Yeah. He's not liked at all.
Yeah,
I wish. God, I hate that he has my favorite number, 37. Like I was like, man, I really wish Odubel. I liked Odubel, but I can't. And then he had domestic violence stuff.
Yeah,
and
just, that's on top.
It got to it. Like, but he was our all-star one year because our team sucked. But yeah. What do you think? You think we should end it, or you think we should do your hot take?
I don't have one.
You don't have one. Oh, that's the hot take, people.
The hot take is
we don't have a hot take for you. We kind of ended it with, you know, loathing certain players, and you know, let us know who your favorite non-favorite team players are, and then also some of your least favorite players that played for your team. Let us know in the comments on Instagram, Twitter, on the podcast thing. Comment on it. Let us know. Give us a review. You know. I don't know. Like, do you guys like us or not? We don't know. I know my one friend, or we know a couple of our friends like listening to us, but they're our friends. You know, if you're a random person that listens to us, let us know. We want to hear from you.
You know what? We can't end on such hatred.
Oh, we can't?
No.
Why not?
I want to be on a more positive, absurd note. Well, maybe not
absurd.
Well, it's not too absurd.
Okay. All right. Let's make it quick.
Well, you heard that Scherzer's probably coming back soon.
Correct. Yeah, he's doing a rehab assignment.
I think not only is he going to come back,
oh,
he's going to come back on fire. He's going to go he's going to win the MVP. Sorry, not the MVP, the Cy Young this year.
Whoa, that's high.
He's going to be a comeback player of the year and Cy Young winner. I'm calling it now.
He's going to be comeback player of the year even though he was in the playoffs last year?
He hardly played,
though. I don't think he can be comeback player of the year. I don't think, because I don't think based off of, I don't think he would be voted comeback player of the year.
He's not eligible.
I don't.
Well, he'll still be Cy Young, which is more important.
Okay. Dang. Okay. That's hot.
Calling
it
now.
He's going to come back on fire. He would be a guy that I feel like would light himself on fire. He's mad. He's crazy.
He is a crazy.
So guy. I'm kind of rooting for that now. That'd be great.
Yeah.
He just like all of a sudden just starts throwing, like, just comes back, just throwing nasty stuff up there. He has like a 2.3 ERA, like 12-2 or something. Oh, that'd be great. It'd be hard, but given that like he's older, coming back, because he's going to come back probably mid and or like beginning of May.
He's 38 years old, I think.
Oh, gosh.
Or 39, one of them. He's older. Hey, like make him the mule like Clemens and he can win the Cy Young.
And steroids and everything. Oh man. All right, so that's definitely an absurd ending on an absurd note a little bit. Yeah. I think that's it's definitely hot. That's definitely a hot take, given that he's gonna 38-year-old pitcher coming back a month late and trying to win the Cy Young.
If Arrieta can win the Cy Young, he can.
Yes. Oh sure. Scherzer's crazy, but yeah, he's actually likable. But Arrieta's not. All right, people. That's enough fun for today. Let us know in the comments, you know, your favorite players that aren't Phillies or Yankees or your favorite team. Let us know players that you hated or, you know, just random players. You're like, you know what? We should talk about that. Give us players to talk about that you want us to talk about. We're here for you to give us we're here for you to listen to, talk to, for us to, we should just end it. I'm ending. Yeah. I'm losing it.
All right.
All right, people. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Later.